sound. Why is sound so powerful?
Well, audio gives you this ability to fill in the imagination and the visual aspect yourself. It sort of inspires visualization in a way that's not quite as didactic as photography. And this idea comes from the artist Tony Coates, who recently spoke at MPAC in Troy. And he had this really brilliant and beautiful discussion about on-the-spot conceptualizations that can happen with audio and with sound and storytelling done over audio that don't always happen with photography or film.
Tony Coates also went into his sound often contradicts his visuals as a way to disrupt our associations and put us in this environment where we have to question the feeling that we have. How do you relate to that?
Yeah, I think sensory experiences really are a way to confront our assumptions about any environment. My background is in food and taste and smell, but I also have really been interested in audio more recently and radio formats as this way to kind of disrupt the way that we experience space and environment, because we so often are trained to understand them in a really visual vernacular.
And I'd love to introduce you. I'm speaking with Allie Wist for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. And so you're working on your arts PhD at RPI, and we'll have you back to talk about your research. But I am interested in talking with you about exploring sound. And you co-founded a futurist art and culture radio show. I said Mutamor, and you corrected me. How do you say it?
Mutamor.
Mutamor. What should listeners know about this project?
So Mutamor, the word that is tricky to pronounce, is Latin. And it comes from a phrase, tempora mutanar nos et mutamor in illis, which I'm also probably butchering. But that phrase means times change and we change with them. So the impetus for the show is really to look at change over time and speculation, especially from an artist's point of view, and use the sort of daytime talk show format to explore alternative futures. And I co-founded this show with two other artists, A.M. Bang and Christian Hendricks, and it has generously been hosted by Montez Press Radio for 3 years now, actually.
So what is an alternative future?
Well, you know, so many narratives around futurism in the mainstream media are dominated by technophilia and masculinity and often anthropocentrism. Of course, there are really beautiful and brilliant stories by folks like Octavia Butler, Ursula K. Le Guin, who tell other stories. And I say other in this really wonderful way that they embrace non-binary experiences of nature versus culture, of gender, of multi-species collaborations. And so we really wanted to explore, you know, art, speculation, and fiction as other ways of imagining futures, and even as other forms of cognition, you know, like very actual, real, valid ways to understand our world, not just storytelling, but forms of epistemology.
Can you give some examples of some of the programs that are part of this?
Oh, yeah. So one of my favorites was Tips on How to Stop Thinking Like a Human. And we go through all kinds of different forms of non-human intelligence and ways in the future that we might be a little less anthropocentric in our definitions of intelligence and explore feeling and thinking like an octopus or like slime mold. Another was, we did two episodes recently on the idea of utopias, and one was called How to Build a Broken Utopia, because they so often fail by their very sort of assertion that they're going to be a utopia and solve some sort of social ill. And so we kind of looked at the ways in which architecture and ecology intersect with these sort of like human notions of perfect futures and where they fail or fall apart.
We first met at the recent Ruderal Ecologies 2, which was also very much of talking about not, you know, nature, that humans are a part of nature, where we often discuss the separation of the two of them. What were some of the things you took away from the conference?
Oh, wow. There were so many things. That conference was really wonderfully inspiring. I think some of the decolonial methodology that was introduced was incredibly powerful and helpful. I think especially Max Liberon's notion of not focusing exclusively on damage and harm as the way that we tell stories about the environment was really inspiring to me. They made this point that if we only ever tell stories about damaged communities or harm, we basically paint this picture of those communities or even non-humans as damaged and harmed and deficient in some way. And we need to also tell stories about desires, about what we want out of futures and what we could imagine that's better.
Definitely a full narrative, as always. We often fail to give the entire, to show the nuances in situations. So we often paint things in one brushstroke.
Yeah, I mean, and simultaneity is the thing we need now more than ever, you know, considering being able to hold multiple truths at once, which is something the internet and Twitter hates doing. Mm. But especially when it comes to futures, it's never going to be black and white. It's not going, you know, one solution is never going to be able to solve our problems. And so much of talk about climate change is solutionism and just this narrow focus on being able to solve a problem in, again, just reproducing binaries in one way over another. And I think a lot of what we try to do on Mutamer is to explore simultaneous truths, multi-temporalities, ways in which things intersect and contradict each other, and be able to accept all of those as going on in tandem, I guess.
Mm. Why was radio the medium that you were interested in exploring this?
Again, I do think I so agree with Tony Coates' opinion that it allows for a kind of imagination that other formats don't. And I think also because we really wanted to have conversations, I think we had been, the three of us that started it had worked in visual arts practices and in writing. And there's a finality to that work that didn't allow for that open-endedness. And like I said, that kind of simultaneity or multiple truths existing at once. And the kind of radio talk show format allowed us to have a more, I think, exploratory approach to the topics.
Mm-hmm. What is your experience with radio growing up?
That's such a good question. It was always on in the car, and, you know, radio from when I grew up in the 90s and early 2000s was, you know, on demand, and it had this sort of public communal listening aspect that was really obvious and take it for granted then, but now we have so much on demand, we kind of forget that it was a public communal listening experience. And that's a lot of what Montez Press Radio, I think, is also interested in when they started their radio station, was going back to this notion of communal listening, things being live. You have to tune in and engage with it together, even if you're physically separate. So that's what I remember about listening to radio as a kid. A lot of 90s ballads and Bette Midler.
So the on-demand is, in a way, kind of an archive. Broadcasting, if it's separate, has this ephemeral aspect of it. Is one better than the other? What are the benefits of each?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly also love the archive, and I love archives that are, there's a term by a German scholar, Zelinsky, I think his name is, an archive, like an anarchy archive, one that isn't really organized and neat and tidy all the time. And I like the idea of sensory archives for that reason, whether it's sort of like clips of audio from you walking around and crunching on leaves, or if it's an archive of smell or taste. I think the potential for sensory archives that are a little more disorganized and messy is kind of a really exciting thing that you could explore. And so, yeah, of course, I think live broadcasting as an ephemeral medium is also just incredibly wonderful. My master's degree is actually in food studies, and the whole reason that I love food is because it is ephemeral, and every time you engage with it, it's on a new term, and it disappears and dissipates, and you have to continually re-engage with it. live and it doesn't archive. And I just think there's something kind of poignant about that.
Thank you so much. So how do we listen to Mutamor? No, I still said it wrong, didn't I?
It's a tricky one.
Mutamor.
Yeah.
Where do we find Mutamor?
So we just launched a website, mutamor.com, which is mutamur.com. And we're going to start putting some of our archived episodes up, but you can also listen to it on Montez Press Radio website, which is radio.montez, M-O-N-T-E-Z, press, P-R-E-S-S.com. And so we're live the last Saturday of every month at 1 p.m., but they also have an amazing archive, not just our show, tons of amazing artists, so you can listen there.
Thank you so much for joining us on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. This is Ali Wist.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.